shadow of us for long period. But two items left on the agenda. One is the speech, the keynote address by Mullah Suleiman Rabit. Thereafter, the graduation ceremony, and inshallah, the presentation of kids. It should be ended by call of Asif, inshallah. Next up, we call upon Mullah Suleiman Rabit, who is the Drive Time presenter at Radio Islam International, as well as the program's manager, to address the audience today, inshallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. You know when our elders give us advice, they say before you speak in public, before you address people, you must always make dua. You must say, Allah, inspire me to say that which is right, put effect in my words. Then over the years, out of experience, I used to add on one more dua. That, oh Allah, don't let the MC say what I intend to say. Now today I forgot to make that dua. So I have to put this note aside because my whole talk was centered around the statements of Ali radiallahu anhu in terms of the comparison between knowledge and wealth. So forgive me as I improvise. So now it's winging it, right, as they say, it's off the cuff. But there is one thing that I had noted which I want to say up front, and perhaps this is one of the more important points that I wanted to make. Whenever there is a graduation of any sort, then congratulations are in order. But this particular graduation requires a special type of congratulation for two reasons. One is that the students who are graduating today from these adult classes, as we call it, you have broken two very serious wrong notions that existed amongst us as Muslims. The one is, for very long we have had this notion that the pursuit of knowledge stops when our student days come to an end. When our schooling days come to an end, that's when we stop pursuing knowledge. So people think, I went to school, I went to madrasa, that was the period of my life when I pursued knowledge. Whatever happens after that, I need to draw on whatever I learned from there. Here and there, I'll pick up a bit in the talks that I listen, the Jummah, the big night programs, radio programs, etc. But actually pursuing knowledge in a more formal, more concerted, more dedicated way, there's this wrong notion that there is something which is only exclusive to our younger years, when we are, so to speak, still students and still going to school. So by studying at this stage in your life, and this age in your life, you have broken that erroneous notion. The second wrong notion that we have many times is that the pursuit of Islamic knowledge beyond the very basics, meaning beyond what is mandatory, how to make wudu, how to perform salah, how to read Quran, that is the exclusive domain of the ulama. So we also have this misconception that, okay, no, I went to maktab, I learned how to read Quran, I learned how to make wudu, how to read salah, the basics I know. Anything beyond that, no, that's for the ulama, that's not for me. So in this particular course, by enrolling in this course, by studying this particular course, and by graduating this course, you have actually broken those two very erroneous notions. That knowledge is not restricted to a particular period in life, when your beard is still starting to emerge, and when you're still known as a schoolboy or a schoolgirl, and knowledge is not the exclusive domain of the ulama. Obviously, there are certain areas of expertise when it comes to interpretation, when it comes to judicial conclusions, which is a science, and therefore it requires the expert knowledge of ulama. But to learn more about Quran, to learn more about Sunnah, to learn more about Deen, is something which ought to be the aspiration of every Muslim, irrespective at what stage of your life you are. The reality is that every Muslim should strive to attain more knowledge of Deen in every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, we must consciously be seeking, we must consciously be making an effort that I need to learn more about my Deen today. Even if it's just one thing a day. And this is the key point that I want to drive home this evening. That congratulations to you, Mubarak to you, may Allah Ta'ala accept, may Allah take you from strength to strength. But as a community, As a ummah, we need to break out of these shackles where we have confined the pursuit of knowledge to a particular period in our lives, or we have pursued, or we have confined the pursuit of knowledge only to the scholars and only to the ulama. There's one point that I always make mention of when I talk about knowledge, or when I talk about ilm, or we talk in a particular context like this. It's a very basic point, but the lesson behind it is very profound. If we look at the period prior to the Nubuwwah and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 600 years there was no wahi, no revelation. The moral degeneration, the decay in society had become so bad that people had put idols in the Kaaba. The house which was there to epitomize Tawheed and the oneness of Allah, idols had been put into that house. The first house that was built on earth, inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas, the first house that was built on earth so that we can recognize Allah and we can be linked to Allah, that became the house of idols. That very house people used to make tawaf naked. In the vicinity of that very house, people used to bury their daughters alive. Can you imagine? Today as a parent, if your child passes on, you find it difficult to put the body of your child into the ground. I've seen certain janazas where the father steps back and says, emotionally I can't take it. Tell somebody else to put the body of my own child into the grave. Here, a laughing, smiling, breathing daughter, your own flesh and blood. Imagine what was the state of humanity at that particular time, that you could put that own innocent child of yours, who came from your own blood, into the ground. Now after all of that, the superpowers don't want to rule over that nation. We know these are basic things. When the first revelation comes, it would have been reasonable for us to expect that there would have been a condemnation of idol worship. That the first revelation would have been condemning of what was happening in the vicinity of the Kaaba. But look at what Allah teaches us in the first revelation. Iqra, read, recite, educate yourself, seek knowledge. Why? Because evils, sins, challenges will always be there in different forms and in different ways. But the solution to every evil and every problem lies in the pursuit of knowledge. And the foundation for every success lies in the pursuit of knowledge. So first up, Allah said to this ummah, educate yourself, pursue knowledge, you will reform your own condition and you will become reformers that will reform humanity, that will reform humankind, if you link to Allah via the pursuit of knowledge. So what you have done here is nothing ordinary. It's not to say that because you had a little extra time in your life, now that your business is stable or now that you have retired, that you came and said, okay, I don't have anything much to do or anything better to do, so let me come and sit here every morning for 2 hours in an adult class. No, what you have done here is a fulfillment of that instruction which was the first revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The cycle of knowledge and this emphasis on the pursuit of ilm did not only even start with the first revelation. As soon as Allah created Adam alayhi salatu was salam, the first teacher was Allah and the first student was Adam alayhi salam. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. The first thing that Allah did after creating Adam alayhi salam, after giving life to Adam alayhi salatu was salam, was that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Allah taught Adam alayhi salatu was salam. So there are many benefits in pursuing knowledge. The ahadith are many. The Quran says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. A rhetorical question. Those who know and those who don't know, are they equal? They can never be equal. They can never be equal. And every time you learn, even if it's but just a bit, you don't necessarily have to get a formal qualification. You don't necessarily have to study 6 or 7 years to become a recipient of the barakah of knowledge. The more you delve into it, the greater the reward. But knowledge is like gold, you know. Every little bit of it you get, it's still valuable. Every little bit of it that you get, it still enriches you. It brings a lot of barakah into your life. Knowledge brings barakah into your life. It's also very rewarding, as we know. Every second that you spend in pursuing knowledge, you're accruing reward. And then this ilm, this deeni knowledge, obviously we have worldly knowledge. We have knowledge of the worldly sciences. Some of you have graduated from this particular course, have many years ago graduated in a particular profession. And that is also important, because worldly knowledge helps us to function in this world, and it also helps us to lead in different fields so that we become dependent of others and we can depend on ourselves. But the beauty of revealed knowledge or deeni knowledge is that it helps you to guide. It helps you to guide yourself when it comes to the implementation of your worldly knowledge. What's the difference between a Muslim doctor and a non-Muslim doctor? What's the difference between a Muslim lawyer and a non-Muslim lawyer? The difference is the Muslim understands why I'm doing what I'm doing, how I must do what I'm doing, what are the parameters within which I must do what I must do. So this deen knowledge helps to guide you when it comes to the implementation of your worldly knowledge. The more you learn about deen, the more your recognition of Allah grows. And that's the ultimate for a believer, to understand the greatness of Allah to a higher extent, to a higher level. You have a greater appreciation of deen, of what is right, what is wrong, what is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, what is impermissible. The more you seek knowledge, the greater your enthusiasm for amal and actions. The more your enthusiasm to practice on the deen, because you have a greater appreciation of what deen is all about. And lastly, in terms of the benefits of knowledge, like the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that one faqih, one person who has knowledge, is more overbearing and overwhelming on the devil than 1,000 worshippers. Because you know how to worship. One is to worship, and the other is to know how to worship in a manner that is most pleasing to Allah. So you become much more difficult and much less vulnerable for the devil when you equip yourself and you fortify yourself with knowledge. What I'm saying, the first addressees are the graduates. But we are all addressed in terms of these points. Even if you're a scholar, our teachers used to tell us that in the 6 years or the 7 years that you have studied, we have merely given you the tools so that you can go now and discover further with less assistance from your elders, with less assistance from the more knowledgeable and the more experienced. We can now take away those side tires that you have on the bicycle. We'll still observe you from a distance, but now you can ride on your own a bit. So it should not stop here. And I want to conclude on these points, that what is the way forward? The way forward is not to say, well, I've done a 2-year course, or I know this much, I knew this much, now I know this much more. It continues. Look at the dua that the Quran teaches us, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge, increase me in knowledge, increase me in knowledge. There can never be an end. It's a process that can never be exhausted. And there needs to be this burning desire, even if the back is hunching. And even if the faculties are starting to wane, there still needs to be that deep desire that how can I learn more? Even if it's just one thing every day. And also, I'll give just one or two practical advices that, going forward now, at least under the guidance of your tutors, get one good English translation of the tafsir. One tafsir set, a good one, buy it and read from it every day, even if it's just a few pages. Have that connection with the Quran, as Maulana was saying. And buy one new book on Seerah every year. Read minimum one book on Seerah. Obviously, the authenticity of it and which books you consult with your seniors and with your scholars. But read tafsir every day. Every day, even if it's one page, even if it's the tafsir of one line or one ayah, the way it will open up your mind, the way it will open up your world, the way it will enrich your life is really mind-boggling. And read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though you may know the basic life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every author brings to the fore different gems, different perspectives, different angles. And then take the knowledge and translate it into beneficial knowledge. Another dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, grant us beneficial knowledge. Scholars have written that this Arabic word ilm, we translate it as knowledge, but that's because English, the words are not so comprehensive. So knowledge is one element of ilm. Ilm in the Arabic sense is when you learn, and that learning takes you to the point of implementing, and implementing then takes you to the point of disseminating. Those three things together, learning, practicing, and then propagating, that's ilm. So you've studied for 2 years, you've learned. You continue the process of learning. But now your ilm needs to bring you closer to Allah. After 2 years of studying deen, the levels of taqwa need to increase. Being a Muslim, you need to become a better Muslim now because you know more about deen. Your relationship with Allah needs to be stronger now because you know more about the message of Allah and the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So take this knowledge and translate it into action. And take this knowledge and share it with others. Like Ali radiallahu anhu said, from amongst those 10 benefits, or rather than the 10, the comparison between wealth and knowledge, one of them was that wealth, the more you disseminate, it decreases. But knowledge, the more you share it, it increases. In terms of your reward, it increases also. And in terms of its existence, it increases also. Lastly, I'll conclude with this statement of Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi. He said, knowledge knocks on the door of action. Knowledge knocks on the door of action. If it receives a reply, it stays. Otherwise, it departs. Knowledge knocks on the door of amal and action. If there is a reply, meaning that you make amal, then that knowledge stays with you. And that is true knowledge and it's beneficial knowledge. But if it doesn't get a reply, it departs. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq wa ahlu da'wan.
We now reach the pinnacle of our program, and there is the graduating ceremony, and to start of that.